Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Wednesday, July 18th. Let's cock-a-doodle-do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds the Spitting Statistician, and I am overjoyed to be joined, as always, by my guy, FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasía, the King, Scott Angle. Scotty, how you doing on a hump day?
Doing all right. Busy getting the exclusive edge package out there for the users on rotoexperts.com. Enter the King at checkout for a special discount. Check out our new brand new Slack chat channel where you get your questions answered any time of the day by the experts.
Oh, that's awesome. Definitely check out the Slack channel. Definitely go to rotoexperts.com for the exclusive Edge fantasy package. You can enter the promo code THEKING at checkout. Scotty, if I'm trying to buy the exclusive Edge package and I enter the code EL REY, would it work?
No, you got to use English, but maybe I could do something about that.
All right, we might have to figure that out. We'll ask what Josh Hader thinks about that, but we'll talk about that and the All-Star Game and all the things that are happening around Major League Baseball in our next segment a little bit later on. Listen, we believe Manny Machado could be on the move today. In fact, we think the only reason it wasn't announced yesterday is because of the Midsummer Classic. You know, Josh Hader gives up some bombs, but then there were more bombs when he looked at his phone. We'll get into all that. And really, why the All-Star Game, in my opinion, was the pure embodiment of the way baseball is in 2018. But we'll get to that in a little while because I know a lot of people are all hyped up on fantasy football, so we got to get you ready for that. Scott mentioned the Roto Experts exclusive Edge package. Remember, you could also holler at us if you want kind of this live advice. The number to call is 844-843-6879 if you want to chat it up with Scotty and myself. You also can hit us up on Twitter at Spittin' Speeds, at Scotty Roto X, and at Roto Experts, of course, later when Jake joins the show at All In Kid. Scott, I got a couple of things I want to bounce off you that I saw yesterday. Listen, we've been talking about the Rams and their wide receivers and this idea that, like, they're all kind of consistent. They're all kind of in the same vein. And who really represents the most value? We're talking about Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and Brandon Cooks. Well, the Rams think that Brandon Cooks certainly represents something because they extended him with a 5-year, $80 million deal yesterday. Only about 20 of it is guaranteed. I guess, Scott, my question, why are the Rams so early with this? You know, like, they have all three wide receivers. The Rams have a habit of spending big-time money on wide receivers, the Robert Woods contract. Let's not forget about the Tavon Austin contract a few years ago. I mean, like, are they just trying to spend that Tavon Austin money that they got off the books? I don't know about this, Scotty. Like, the idea of locking in Brandon Cooks when you really have kind of a embarrassment of riches at the wide receiver position. They're putting forth all this money now. On the horizon is Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, and others. What do you think about this contract extension for Cooks?
I think maybe they learned something from Tavon Austin that, you know, what a quality wide receiver looks like. And, right, you know, now Tavon Austin listed as the Cowboys depth chart as a running back. So that tells you how Tavon Austin worked out. You know, they want to lock him in. Something the Patriots did not want to do. I think it's already been proven that, like I always say, there are two types of quarterbacks: those who make their receivers better. Right. You got guys like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. That, you know, they can make guys play above their abilities or better than they they are. That's why I worry about Paul Richardson, because I don't know if he's going to be quite as good with Alex Smith in Washington, but, you know, I'm getting off on another point there. But and there are others that if you surround them with the right talent, they'll excel or they'll play very well. And I think Jared Goff is that kind of guy. And you saw last year with three quality receivers and they lost Sammy Watkins. They replaced him with Cooks, which might be turn out to be an upgrade, that they have a very deep receiving crew for Jared Goff to have offensive balance, to continue to excel. And from a fantasy perspective, you like seeing that because you have a guy who can pretty much do it all in Cooper Kupp. You know, he's a possession guy, but he can also get downfield and in the red zone. Robert Woods is, he's the guy who's like maybe a little bit of a bigger target, you know, can make that toe tap catch on the sideline. And then,
right.
then Cooks is the deep threat. You have a diverse crew of wide receivers. They want to lock that in for Jared Goff so he can continue to invest in that franchise quarterback and have him continue to play well for a while.
Yeah, interesting. And, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, Scott, these Rams are they're all in. You know, they have guys that, you know, the Aaron Donald money is going to come to bear eventually. You know, the kind of contract holdout, whatever's going on there. They took on Ndamukong Suh money. You know, the people like Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters. It feels like they know their window is, like, open right now. And so they're going to do exactly what they can, both on the offensive side, you know, to build those weapons around Goff with that system so that he can be successful and to really, you know, give Wade Phillips some new toys to play with on defense. I am very high on the Los Angeles Rams. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later on as we move on to the regular season.
Real quick, though, about the Rams.
Yeah.
You know, good to look at a paper. You know, you got to play the games on the field, and they found that out during the playoffs against the Falcons. But I will say one thing. They have a great defensive line, maybe the second best in the NFC. I think Minnesota probably has the best. They have a terrific secondary, but they should have invested more in linebacker because I think that's the one weakness they have. And I think when pass-catching running backs face the Rams this year, you might be in I would probably attack that in DFS and during bye weeks.
That's very, very interesting, Scott, you mentioned, because I, as you know, for the Roto Edge, for the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package, I wrote an article about defenses and defenses to own, and it's interesting you make that point, that they're really strong on the defensive line, they're really strong in the secondary, but not necessarily at the linebacker level. Scott, I want to ask you a question, conceptually, okay? I'm not talking about any specific team, but my question for you is, could it be, and this is my kind of thesis, that the linebacker level is becoming less and less important in the NFL these days, Scott, as we move, and I think that that's the defensive, you know, kind of inverse of this becoming such a passing league. With becoming such a passing league, you know, you don't have those kind of like Taquio Spikes middle linebackers that stop the run anymore. The run isn't as important part of the game. And so defenses are really looking to just what they need to do to stop the passing game, and that is two things. Get pressure on the quarterback with that D-line or the edge, and to cover, and that's what they're doing with the secondary. My question is, like, similar to how, say, oh, I don't know, the fullback is less and less important on offense in today's NFL, could the argument be made that the linebacker, especially the kind of run-stopping linebacker, the Taquio Spikes mold, is less important these days?
Yeah, I think you're just looking at the, well, I'm not saying that you were necessarily just looking at the Rams and, you know, making that judgment. I don't think so. I think it depends on the team. I think the Rams may have made a mistake, not by addressing that, but I think it really depends at, you know, what team you look at, because, you know, you look at Seattle, Bobby Wagner is a super run stopper, probably the best in the league. You can make an argument for Luke Kuechly when he's healthy. You know, there are still some very good run stoppers out there.
Right, but those guys that you're mentioning, Bobby Wagner, for example, you know, he is a different kind of, you know, run-stopping linebacker. So is Luke Kuechly. These guys are much more agile, much more sideline to sideline than they ever was as, like, the thumpers before. And here's another example of what I'm talking about. Let's say the Los Angeles Chargers, Scott. Like they struggled stopping the run last year and were still a top-five defense because of that line getting pressure with Bosa and Ingram and because of that secondary with Hayward and King and getting Jason Verrett back. And then what do they do with the 17th overall pick that was widely heralded? They go and get Derwin James, a safety who is that defensive chess piece that can kind of move around. You mentioned Minnesota, same kind of thing in Minnesota with that defensive line with Danielle Hunter bringing in Richardson on
Minnesota,
that line.
And then the secondary. Minnesota has Kendricks and Anthony Barr.
Absolutely.
That is a terrific linebacking crew right there.
Absolutely, but that is not – but think about it. These are guys – Barr was a guy that was drafted, okay? What are they investing money to bring in was, say, Sheldon Richardson on the defensive line. So I do think it's interesting.
Because they already had those guys at linebacker. How you get them, it doesn't matter. What you're saying is, you know, that the run-stopping linebacker doesn't matter anymore. I disagree.
I'm saying it matters
you,
less.
I don't know. You know, guys like Eric Kendricks, C.J. Mosley, you know, they don't get as much publicity, but I still think those guys are very important. You can't get chewed up on the ground because that sets up even more dangerous play action that keeps your offense off the field. So, you know, look, it is more of a passing league, but I think run-stopping linebackers are still very important.
Okay, so then let me ask you the open question before we move on. If you
ask guys who play at IDP leagues too, because they're
I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about.
Those tackle guys, yeah.
That's not what I'm talking about, Scott. So if you acknowledge that what you said, that it's becoming a passing league, then just open forum. Like, then what is the defensive response to that?
What do you mean, what is the defensive response?
These things go in cycles, Scott. You know, you talk about, say, like the edge pass rusher, Lawrence Taylor breaking Joe Theismann. That's what necessitated the offensive side thinking about the quote-unquote blind side and the emphasis on the left tackle. These things go in cycles and waves. So now that it is becoming a passing league, how are defenses responding then?
Well, you know, that's a question over the past decade, but defenses are continually evolving, though.
Every team
has a different defense.
Right. What I'm saying is one of those evolutions is to think about what you have at linebacker, the evolution from a Taquio Spikes to your guy like a Bobby Wagner, the idea of the importance of the safety, being able to be a movable chess piece instead of being traditional roles like the box safety and the coverage safety, having these Deion Buchanans, having these Honey Badger kind of guys. These are part of the evolution. Having the double A-gap blitz is a response to the emphasis on the left tackle, bringing your pressure from everywhere. You know, these are all, you know, constant back and forth between the offense and the defense as evolution in the game. And so I'm just saying, like, this is part of it. Wade Phillips has been a defensive coordinator for a very long time in Phillips, you know, in football, even before that, his dad, Bum Phillips, was in football. And I'm just saying that he, I believe, is making the decision the way he wants to do it for the Rams is to get quick pressure up the middle, not even with the edges. That's why you have Donald and Sue. Imagine them going straight up the middle with the interior offensive line of the Seattle Seahawks and others in that division. And then when you're bringing that quick pressure, he's got corners on the outside and Peters and Tlaib that are known for jumping routes, that are known for gambling. I think this is all part of a scheme that he's doing in response to what he is seeing offensively in the NFL. But we talk about safety, Scott.
If you're saying that, you know, that these guys have to do these kind of things, I don't disagree with you. But, you know, I would, when you look at Taquio Spikes, he was run stopper supreme, but that's all that he was. If you're saying that it's an evolution of the linebacker, you know, be better in pass coverage and stop the run, you know, I'm okay with that. But to say that there's less emphasis on stopping the run, I don't know if I'd necessarily agree with that, because you talk about guys like Sheldon Richardson. You know, these guys are also signed to take up space and clog against the run, so the linebackers can shoot the gaps as well.
Snacks Harrison does that as well. Sure,
I think you know, maybe if you want to say there's more of an emphasis on versatility, but I don't think any NFL team wants a guy who can just stop the run and be weak against the pass.
Right. That's exactly like that was my original point that I feel that you were kind of not taking. But it's OK, Scotty. We can move on. Let's talk about Earl Thomas here. OK, in a defense that you're talking about, you know, one of the best coverage safeties in the NFL in a long time. Right. He's with your Seattle Seahawks. Scotty, what are you making of this? Like, what are the percentages here? Like, help me make some odds here. If I had to go on over to mybookie.ag, you know, make into the props builder tool, like, what are the odds that the Seahawks are going to extend them? What are the odds that they're going to trade them? What are the odds that this is like, you know, a game of chicken that ultimately Earl Thomas just blinks first and just comes back with his hat in his hand? I think those are the only three options, right? Like, what, how's it going to play out, Scotty, up there in Seattle with Earl Thomas?
Ultimately, he's not going to leave all that money on the table. Just might miss a lot of time in camp. And then the Seahawks have to decide whether they're going to trade him or not. You know, they already gave him one above his rookie contract. It's, you know, it's pretty much, you know, the front office policy not to extend him to two, you know, especially after they watch Cam Chancellor get injured. And, you know, now they're paying him all this money and he's not going to be available. So I think he's going to probably be forced to play out his final year, and then unfortunately he might be gone. And, you know, when you watch that from a fantasy perspective, you know, the Seahawks will still be a pretty good defense when you have guys like Bobby Wagner and Earl Thomas. You know, they're not going to be the elite fantasy defense that they used to. But when the matchup is right, I think when you have guys like Earl Thomas and Bobby Wagner, you know, that's still a defense that you can stream.
Fair enough. Especially, I would say, when they're at home, Scott, you know, because they also, as we know, play very well up there with the 12s. And I'm hopeful, Scott, that you get a chance to get up there to Quest Field, maybe, you know, raise the flag, ring the bell up there. That could be fun.
Now CenturyLink Field.
Excuse me, CenturyLink Field. It's tough to keep up with some of these naming rights these
days. It is, isn't it?
It certainly is. Hey, Scotty, I have one more piece of news, and I saved it for last on purpose because I know we were talking about your tight end rankings a little bit yesterday. We only got to the top three. We'll continue this conversation a little bit now. I know you're saying, oh, boy, because I know that you know where I'm going in terms of the piece of news. And it's a guy, listen, that we have talked about before, Scotty. It is a guy that we thought had some potential to really be a breakout along with guys like, say, a Trey Burton or a George Kittle. He was in that Baskin Robbins tier, I call it, different flavors for everybody. I'm talking about Cardinals tight end Ricky Seals-Jones. I gotta tell you something, Scott. I have been to the W Hotel in Scottsdale. It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place. A little pool party action. I've done it before, but it seems like Ricky Seals-Jones, I mean, like, when you gotta go, you gotta go. Okay, and he was arrested last night, I guess, or a couple days ago. I guess he was trying to get to the bathroom, shoving security out of the way or whatever it is. I mean, Scott, I don't, you know, the incident is the incident, whatever it is, and we could have a commentary about what football players do when they're not, like, you know, under the watchful eye of the teams in this, like, three-week period until training camp and stuff like that. But I want to talk about it like I know you do from a pure fantasy aspect. Scott, this guy is inside the top 10 of your rankings. A lot of people see him as a diamond in the rough. Two-part question. Part one, do you expect a suspension, and if so, for how long on this? And part two, what are the implications on your rankings? I know a couple weeks ago you dropped LeSean McCoy vociferously after the buzz about that, facing, you know, when there was a thought of a potential suspension. What do you think here with RSJ?
First off, watch my expert drafts closely because I'm having bad luck this year.
Did you draft RSJ also in Scotty Fish?
We have the fantasy football frenzy auction.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I aggressively and maybe even overbid on Ricky Seals-Jones for $15, but I really wanted him, and the tight end pool was starting to dry up a little bit. And the next day after I get awarded him, you know, this thing happens. Again, with these kind of situations, you never know how the league is going to react. Mm-hmm. Now, you're reading the report, you know, the W Hotel in Scottsdale denied him access to the bathroom.
Right.
And then he tried to use the bathroom in a sushi restaurant in the hotel.
Somewhere else, right.
He denied him access there. And they said he was bloodshot eyes, alcohol.
Right. He pushed the security guard around.
The security guard. The security guards got physical with him. They tackled him. You don't know how this one is going to play out necessarily. Of course, the NFL, you know, him being physical doesn't bode well for him at all.
Exactly.
But then again, you know, this whole discussion. Is this a Starbucks thing? You know, it's like, why are they denying the guy access?
Were they
to
just
bathroom?
Afraid of the large black men?
They're denying somebody access to a bathroom.
I like how you didn't want to say it, Scott. I said it out loud. They're just afraid of the large black men. But go ahead. And well, we know Scott, like the NFL, like I've said it before, you've acknowledged before, if nothing else, the NFL is inconsistent with how they treat these kinds of things, whether it's domestic violence or otherwise. They're inconsistent. Okay, I think that's something we should acknowledge here, right? So it could be nothing. We could come out and hear he misses three games. Who knows? How do we treat this, though, you know, in drafts and stuff? Are we dropping him out of the tight end one conversation? Is he someone you got to then back up with, like, a George Kittle or something? Like, how are we treating this moving forward?
You never know with the NFL, but I wouldn't think it's like a 16-game suspension or something like that.
I hear
you. What you got to do is maybe, like, drop him a few slots, like – because, you know, the tight end pool is not all that impressive either. So
I hear you. So let's play the name game.
Right now he's in number eight, so I'm probably going to drop him about three or four slots.
All right, so let's figure that out. Let's try and play the game here and see. I'm on PPR scoring on your ranks. By the way, Scotty, I am on your ranks on the Roto Experts exclusive Edge fantasy football package. And in PPR formats, at least, you have Ricky Seals-Jones as your ninth tight end, right behind Kyle Rudolph and in front of Jack Doyle. Okay, so after this news, with maybe a cloud hanger over him, you like Ricky Seals-Jones or Jack Doyle?
I'm going to go with Doyle. You know,
okay, Ricky Seals-Jones.
There's a healthy Andrew Luck.
Right.
Doyle's going to get his numbers.
Okay, right beneath that, you have another kind of highly touted guy who might potentially have a breakout year this year, Ricky Seals-Jones or Trey Burton.
I'm going to go with Burton. I think, you know, he's a missing piece there for Trubisky.
Okay.
If Seals-Jones was not suspended, though.
That's where it would be, right?
You know, that's where it would be.
Interesting. Okay, so Ricky Seals-Jones, let's go even a little further. Ricky Seals-Jones or your number 12 tight end, Jordan Reed, who also, you know, cannot be depended on to play 16 games.
You know what? Then it comes down to a question of who's going to get suspended or who gets injured. And I think Jordan Reed is more likely to get injured. So I'm going to stop right there and put Ricky Seals-Jones at number 11.
All right. Let me ask you one more, though. Ricky Seals-Jones and George Kittle, because there is no cloud about injury or suspension with Kittle. So would the like more relatively solid 16 games of Kittle?
But Kittle hasn't shown me enough to put him above Seals-Jones.
So you're putting RSJ, you're dropping him, like you said, a couple spots, but you still
believe.
And I'm
updating it right now as we speak.
Ooh,
yes.
I like that. But Scotty, based on what you just said, though, and how we're moving him, you are still saying that Ricky Seals-Jones is still a tight end one for you, albeit a back end tight end one, correct?
Yeah, well, look, you never know what the NFL's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's for the exclusive Edge package for our projections,
right.
I'll sit with Arturo Galletti, you know, who's our lead programmer and, you know, knows a ton about football and other sports, you know, who leads the charge for all our projections and everything like that and every great technical thing that we do in the exclusive Edge package on RotoExperts.com. And we'll figure out, you know, what's a good target range that you could at least speculate that he would be suspended. When LeSean McCoy came out, we said, let's take about four games, you know, off of what he's going.
For the projections?
That'll be safe. Because, look, it could be 16. We don't know. But, you know, you have to guesstimate when you're doing that. So
for the projections,
I'm thinking about two games for Ricky Seals-Jones here.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
The hotel was in the wrong, too.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. I was going to ask you in terms of, like, I know the NFL is inconsistent, right? And so it's sort of like trying to figure this out.
I can't
like
see it being more than four is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I was going to wonder.
It could be one. I say it's at least one. It could be more than four, so I'm putting it right in the middle.
Yeah, I hear you. I was going to say, like, predicting what the NFL does in terms of discipline is like predicting which running back Bill Belichick will ride with in that Patriots backfield. But so I was going to set the over-under at 1.5, Scotty, in terms of games that Ricky Seals-Jones might get suspended this year. And with that, you would take the over. You think it's going to be 2. I also think it's going to be 2. I think it's going to be 1 or 2. I don't think it goes to 4.
You never know. It doesn't matter. No disrespect I mean by this, but it doesn't matter what you think. It only matters what the NFL thinks.
No, I hear you. I hear you. Yeah. And the thing is, you're right. It does matter what the NFL thinks. And the funny part is if the NFL was more consistent, then we would have a better read on this. But
yeah,
that is clearly not the case, right? So, interesting. We did chat it up here about a lot of the news and notes that are going on today. We talked about Brandon Cooks. We talked about what we expect in that Seattle defense with Earl Thomas really kind of taking to social media and saying, extend me or trade me. And then we talked about Ricky Seals-Jones and kind of where he falls because of the news that came out about the incident at the W Hotel in Scottsdale. You know, Ricky Seals-Jones, Scotty, was
One thing about that, sorry, is if you're going to get to a point where you're about the 11th tight end and you get Seals-Jones at a value, you're going to have to back it up with another tight end late, like an Austin Seferian Jenkins type.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was saying at the top of this. Remember, I was like, if you do this, are you going to take him and then back him up? And I mentioned like a George Kittle or whatever. It's like, it's almost like
I don't think Kittle would last long
enough. It's not about the exact
like back
name.
Him up. Yeah.
It's not about the exact name, Scott. It's about the concept of are we backing him up?
No,
similar,
I disagree with you. You got to talk about the range and who the name is going to be.
Okay.
I got Kittle right behind Jones now.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm talking about do you now have to back him up in a similar way that you would want to back up Andrew Luck or Patty Mahomes or something like that at quarterback because of the risk? We will continue to talk about this. I'm thinking of a master plan for fantasy football, but we're going to talk about the All-Star game as well when we come back. Dane and Scott, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Welcome back to Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott Angle and Spitting Statistician Scotty, I don't know, man. I don't know if you heard the commercial, but these guys were already giving you stuff about Ricky Seals-Jones in the auction, like spending whatever it was, $15 for him. And I'm unfortunately compounding that with the issue that took place in Scottsdale yesterday. RSJ may be facing some discipline from the league. But then again, you never know, and that is because of the inconsistency.
You don't. And
that's what I'm saying. You don't know.
And I wanted Seals-Jones. I aggressively overbid for them. They disagree. You know, that's their right. You know, and you know, if Corey wants to, you know, clown it out to be entertaining, that's fine. He said, I can't add. Well, you know, here's some math for you, Corey. We've played each other 15 times, one-on-one. I've won 10. You've won 5. You do the math about who's twice as better.
Woo! Yeah. Spitting hot fire there. Yeah. Hey, Chris Bavona down there in the fantasy pit of misery. Dilly-dilly to you, my friend. Do me a favor. Yeah. You got to clip that. And whatever commercial is played about these guys giving my man El Rey de Fantasía any kind of grief, you got to make sure that that's a clip that's played right after that in response, head-to-head all time. My man Scott Angle has a 667 winning percentage
against the fantasy executive. You don't come at the king and not pay for it. You know
come
what I'm saying?
Come at the king. It's, best it's, not come at the king and miss.
Also, Corey.
We're going on. Hard here.
You want some more math? You got $0 for winning the flex 2 years ago. I won the GST, and I can definitely add up my $3,000.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. We talking stacks, yeah. baby. Scotty yeah. Angle tells you what it's really about, and yeah. it's about us here at the Fantasy Sports Radio Network helping you win your leagues and win that cash. And one of the ways, Scotty, I was telling people, we were giving people help to win that cash in fantasy baseball. Scotty, weeks ago, I was telling people that if you own Manny Machado in an AL-only league, you need to trade him for 60, 70, 80 cents on the dollar, and you need to do it right now because Manny Machado is going to evaporate from your player universe, okay? Everybody was talking speculation that Manny Machado was going to get traded. We heard buzz yesterday that they were down to, like, the medical reports. Ken Rosenthal interviews Manny Machado in the sixth inning yesterday. He's talking about the Orioles in the past tense. He's taking selfies and yucking it up with potential new Dodgers teammate Matt Kemp. They interview Matt Kemp during the game in the outfield, and he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I can't talk about that. It reminds me, Scott, do you remember a few years ago when the Red Sox were playing the Rockies in the World Series, and in the middle of that series, the news broke about, like, Alex Rodriguez's incredible contract, and the stuff was like, we never like something like a trade or a contract or news to detract from a big-time event in Major League Baseball. Scotty, I've got to believe that the only reason this trade has not been announced yet for Manny Machado is so Machado could play for the American League last night, and B, because they didn't want anything taking away from the Midsummer Classic, but it looks like Machado to the Dodgers is all but done.
Yeah, it looks that way, and it looks like they're only going to get minor leaguers in return for what might be a yeah. 2-month rental, but the Dodgers making a push for it. If they get him in-house and he likes playing in Los Angeles, they could certainly have the first crack at extending him here. And from a fantasy perspective, you knew this was coming. So hopefully if you're an AL-only league where you lose the rights to the player if he gets traded, that you've planned ahead for this.
And that's why you got to listen to us.
I was in a mono league a few years ago that I really liked, because sometimes you get the players in return that are traded from the other side. And, if any of these kids come up
during
the stretch run and contribute, you have the rights to them.
You
like
get
that
those
rule.
Players. That
not
is
that any, not that any of these guys are going to contribute this year for Baltimore.
Yeah, no, I hear you, but that is an interesting feature, right, in this kind of situation. You get the assets back as well as the fantasy manager or owner. I think that is very, very interesting. Scotty, yesterday was the Midsummer Classic, and I mentioned it at the top of the show. Scotty, to me, this was a prototypical 2018 game, okay? I'm talking three true outcomes all over the place. At one point, I think it was like after seven innings, the game was 2-2. Nothing but solo home runs so far, right? And there were literally the same amount of home runs as like non-home run hits. Look at this. I'm talking about like until the 10th inning, all the runs were scored via the big fly, right? And then you look at these three true outcomes. I'm telling you, the National League, 13 strikeouts and 13 hits they gave up. More than a K per nine innings, right? The American League, 12 strikeouts, only giving up seven hits. They hit a batter as well. There was something like, what was it? There was 10 home runs in this game and 20 hits in this game. Literally 50% of the hits in this game were home runs. People, there were no real hits. There were no rallies. There was nothing like that. This was people getting struck out or going big fly. In essence, these were not the Major League Baseball All-Stars. These were the three true outcome All-Stars, Scotty. This was baseball in 2018.
Yeah, it was. And it was actually more exciting than I thought it was going to be. To see Gene Segura's reaction after he hit that go-ahead home run shows you actually how much the players, were actually really into this game. Max Scherzer talking about what an honor it is to play in his hometown, et cetera. Miking up the guys and talking to them during the game.
Yeah, that was cool.
I think it was a really good presentation last night. I was pleasantly surprised by the All-Star game, but, I actually didn't catch Alex Bregman's go ahead
his
home
bomb.
Run in the back to backs with him and Springer. But this was more of an exciting game than a lot of regular season games, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. It was exciting.
But the bad part about us fantasy players though was I have Segura on my fantasy team and he hit a 3-run homer and I got all excited, but I didn't remember it didn't count.
Yeah, you get no credit for it. I own Aaron Judge, who went big fly in this game as well. You know what I kind of thought was interesting? Scotty, the idea that, you know, they talk about, oh, this game, it counts now, right? And who was it that hit the game-winning stuff that go crazy? It was like, oh, it's extra innings. It's not, we need to win this game because we need home field advantage. It was Houston Astros that go back-to-back, you know, and a Houston Astro, I believe, that gets the win. I think it was Charlie Morton that wound up getting the win, or maybe it was Diaz because he blew the save and got the – whatever. But, like, I thought it was interesting that A.J. Hinch and Springer – and Bregman are the guy, you know, the Astros are the guys who, like, took the game by the horns and went yard and got that working margin in extra innings. They are one of the, you know, you got to figure, the one of the four teams in the AL that everyone thinks are dominant that will definitely be in the playoffs and could actually potentially need home field advantage. I always thought that, like, listen, a team like the Astros care a lot more about this game and getting home field advantage than, say, the Chicago White Sox representatives, right?
Yeah, but the thing is that it no longer determines home field advantage. Since 2017, you know, it hasn't determined the home field advantage. You know, that was a pure exhibition game, which made it all the more refreshing to see the Gene Segura reaction.
Yeah, absolutely. That is true. Thanks for checking me on that. I was worried we might have another tie when we went to extra innings. They were talking about it in terms of, like, you know, the managers like to get everybody involved, and they did that before Scooter Gennett goes yard to tie it up in the bottom of the ninth. And then the other thing is they were worried about the weather forecast. You know, they were worried about getting this game in. An All-Star game has never been rained out. I was wondering what would happen all of a sudden, you know, but they did get it done. I will say this, Scotty. You mentioned Gene Segura, and you mentioned his reaction after the big-time home run. I don't know if you saw, Scott, I don't know if you were watching the game. Were you watching that part of the game?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you saw, but they went to they cut to the American League dugout in the, like, eighth or ninth inning around that time as well. And there was a Gene Segura and his Mariners teammate Nelson Cruz were staring at a phone and then, like, shaking their head and looking out towards the mound. Did you see that when they cut to that?
That I didn't catch.
Okay. There was a, you know, whatever, in the flow of the game. And it's weird. Like, you're like, okay, it's the All-Star game. And, like, even Francisco Lindor, when he was being interviewed, was like, yeah, I'm wearing these chains right now, my jewelry. But that's only in the All-Star game. I wouldn't do that. So I didn't know if you know, like, okay, seeing cell phones in the dugout, that's a little bit different. Maybe that was an All-Star thing. But, Scott, here's what happened. I'm going to just lay it out for you. Segura and Cruz are, like, staring at a cell phone, right? And then you could see it. They look mad. They look mad at what they are seeing on the cell phone, okay? And then what's interesting is – I think you've seen by now, we've all seen by now, it came out literally kind of like as he was on the mound, Milwaukee Brewer reliever Josh Hader, who has been absolutely dominant this year, okay? Hader has been out of control, 89 strikeouts in 48 innings, a 1.5 ERA, a whip below 0.8. He's got a 0.79 whip. He's been absolutely dominant, right? But it came out, it was unearthed literally while he was on the mound in the All-Star game about a series, I'm talking like potentially dozens or over 100 of racist, xenophobic, homophobic kind of tweets from his past. The case had been made and they were asking these guys after the game, is that what you were looking at? Were you looking at Josh Hader's kind of, you know, prejudiced and disgusting, vile tweets? And is that part of the reason that Segura, like you mentioned, the Segura enthusiasm, the bat flip and all that, his excitement for the three-run homer, it was off Josh Hader. And there are reports out there that part of the reason why that all that big excitement happened was because they stuck it to this guy that they just discovered was out there on social media in his past being racist and homophobic and that sort of thing. There are a ton of tweets. Josh Hader addressed it after the game. What do you say about this stuff, Scott?
I think you got to give Hader, you know, a little bit of leeway here for, you know, I was 17 years old kind of thing. I mean, we've all done dumb things as
Yeah, but
as
Scott,
teenagers.
Here's the thing. It wasn't when he was 17 years old. It's come out already. There was tweets from 2016. Okay, that was really? He wasn't 17 years old then, okay? Literally using the N-word, literally a like one sentence tweet, I hate gay people. From 2016.
That one was from 2016?
I believe so. I saw it earlier this morning. Or with the N-word and stuff. He said it was from 7 years ago. I'm going to go. I'll bring it up right now as we're talking about it. But regardless, okay, whether it's from 7 years ago or not, that sort of thing. Keep going. I'll bring it up, though.
I mean, it is abhorrent what he said. But, you know, if, you know, that's not who he is today and he's learned his lesson, you know.
Josh Hader, January 2016. Hey, Trayvon Martin peeps, rally all you want. He ain't coming back. Perhaps you should not worry about the N-words and feel for real innocent people being gunned down in Chicago. January 2016. You know, I'm looking at more. Some were from 2011 to 2012, but, you know, 2016 as well. That's not 7 years ago, Scotty.
And that was the one from that was the only one from 2016, or were there other ones?
I'm scrolling down right now to look at some of these, you know. But there are some from 2016 as well. I mean, but regardless, okay.
It's from 2016, you know, and he's covering a sensitive subject with an aggressive tone like that, you know, you just have to wonder. And then, you know, let's take the fantasy spin on this. You know, do you not want Josh Hader on your fantasy team because of this?
Remember we talked about this, Scotty. Remember we talked about this with the, like, LeSean McCoy thing? Remember that was the question I asked, like the poll question? Can you emotionally divorce yourself from the character of these guys? Remember that was the exact question we asked last week. You know, so like you're saying, I don't know. What do you think? You think this matters to people? Because he is putting out lights out ratios and numbers.
I know people who won't watch the NFL anymore until Colin Kaepernick gets reinstated.
Interesting. Interesting. So, and here's – go ahead.
Yeah, so there are people that exist like this.
So I do think it's interesting, Scotty. And let's remember, okay, in last year's World Series – right. Remember, Yuri Gurriel, after going yard off of Yu Darvish, made kind of, you know, shall we say, insensitive faces or gestures, that sort of thing. He got suspended by Major League Baseball for 5 games that were served at the beginning of this season. Do you think there could be discipline on the horizon for Josh Hader? For what amounts to hate speech?
I don't think so, because a lot of these tweets are from the past. But you never know for sure. But
yeah, I mean, it is such a sensitive time here that sometimes, you know, Major League Baseball may want to, I don't know, make a point here. I'm not sure either. I don't know how it goes, but it is definitely news out there. And I don't know how Major League Baseball is going to react.
Yeah. I'm looking at some of the tweets there. And, you know, I'm seeing some of the ones from 2016, you know, that are very, like, you know, sexually laced and stuff like that.
Sure.
So, you know, it's 2 years ago was very close.
Yeah, that's obviously what I'm saying. It's not – in front of his locker last night, you know, he was making the point that, oh, I was a teenager. Oh, I was young and stupid. Similar to kind of – was it Josh Allen, I think, who also in the NFL draft, stuff like this kind of came up, that in his past he had tweets like this? I think it was Josh Allen. I apologize if I'm getting that wrong. But do you remember that, Scott? Wasn't there someone in the NFL draft who also there was tweets like this? Was Josh Allen? Okay. And, you know – Hader is in front of his locker and, you know, hey, he's taking his medicine. I that's the professional thing to do. But what he's saying is that it's when he was young and dumb, you know, when he was a teenager, that it was 7 years ago, trying to minimalize it. It sounds like you're looking at some of them now. Scotty, 2016 was not when he was a teenager. It was not 7 years ago.
No, it wasn't. So,
I mean, you know, I don't know. So I think this is a very interesting thing. And Scotty, if you're looking at it, keep on checking. Maybe you'll see that clip of literally Gene Segura and Nelson Cruz staring at their phone in the dugout. Literally, if you go Hader tweets on Twitter, the first thing that comes up, at least for me, is like Segura and Nelson Cruz literally staring at this cell phone and then looking out in the mound when Josh Hader is on the mound. And they're kind of like, whoa. That's weird, you know, so I encourage you to check that out. We'll see. I do think there is the potential here for Josh Hader to face some discipline from Major League Baseball.
Let me put a positive spin on things now.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, this is a lesson, I think, to all young people who are coming up and playing professionally, have the potential to play professional
sports. Scrub your social media past.
Yes, you know, just be careful about what you say. And, you know, for me, this week is going to be a very proud moment because on Thursday at Arm & Hammer Stadium, which is the home of the Trenton Thunder, they're having the Best in the Northeast showcase on the 18th and the 19th. Basically, it's training and scouting sessions for the some of the top high school players in the Northeast. And my nephew, Joseph Brown, who plays pitcher and shortstop, is going to be involved in the Best
showcase?
Of the Northeast showcase tomorrow and Thursday.
That's awesome. And so do me a favor. Tell your nephew, don't hit send. Like Herman Edwards always says, okay? Like, listen, they will find this stuff. They always find this stuff.
I'm not worried about him. What I'm saying is
I'm saying generally.
I'm putting a positive spin on things that, you know, that a lot of these kids are careful. You know, I know his dad, who's my brother-in-law, is like, you know, very much into his baseball career, et cetera, and what he does, and you know he's a good kid with a good head on his shoulders.
That's
and,
awesome.
And you know that's what how you need to be.
Yeah, absolutely. That is how you need to be. You need to take your craft serious, and you need to think about the professionalism that goes along with being a professional athlete. You know, it's not all just glitz and glamour. There is a certain way you need to carry yourself. There's a certain amount of practice and work you need to put in your craft, whether that's film and playbook study, whether that's, you know, kind of the engagement with the fans, being an ambassador for the league and for your team. There are a lot of responsibilities that come with all the glitz, glamour, and salary of being a professional athlete. But it comes out all the time. People are going to dig this stuff up in your past and are going to drop it on you at the worst possible time. Remember Scotty Laramie Tunsil, who was supposed to be the number one overall pick, the offensive lineman out of LSU, and literally like 10 minutes before the NFL draft, the video surfaced of him, like, you know, smoking marijuana out of a gas mask, stuff like that. These things will drop on you from your past. That's why, you know, the best way to do is just live a straight and narrow and, you know, tolerant and happy life, shall we say. But Scotty, do you have anything else on this?
You have to be careful, you know, about your personality, you know, but just back to the hater thing. I'd be interested to see, you know, any of our listeners who want to call up at 844-843-6879. You know, this goes back to the Ray Rice thing. Like, what kind of caliber of person do you want on your fantasy sports team? How much does it affect you? And there are some people just like, you know, they'll look at those screens and they'll see the name Josh Hader on their screen
and say, forget
it. Their blood will curdle. And, you know, they'll say, forget it. Or if
they don't want to have to cheer for him to do well and produce.
Right. Exactly. And I can understand that. And to me, you know, I'm different. It's the end of the day. It's just a name on a screen. You know, I'm not dealing with you as a person. And that's the good thing about fantasy sports is that, you know, you can just keep things between the lines and on the scoreboard and, you know, separate all that. Because there's a lot of stuff that we don't hear about the players as people. And, you know, me having media access, sometimes, you know, I'm up close and personal with some athletes and I find out that not for these Josh Hader type of reasons, just because, you know, they're just not likable people. For whatever reason, but I still want them on my fantasy team if they're going to help it.
And you have to make that personal decision, right? That's why it's your team. You're the owner. You get to make those kind of decisions. But I think it's very interesting, you know, Scott, you talk about this. We did, in fact, I believe, I'm trying to find it. We did, in fact, put up a poll when the McCoy thing was going. And we asked that exact question, right? We asked, can you kind of divorce yourself emotionally from the character of the people on your fantasy team and or on your real lives team? We put up that poll and a lot of people said they really couldn't do that, you know? And so I do think it is interesting. We talk about it, and unfortunately it keeps coming up because these kind of incidents keep coming up. But I was so struck, Scotty, by, like, let's talk about right back on the field. Like, this was really, Scotty, this All-Star game, I think, was a showcase for the three true outcome way of playing baseball. I mean, all these guys, when you get the true studs out there, right? Whether it's, look, Scherzer, 4 Ks in 2 innings, the only run he gives up, a solo shot to Aaron Judge, you know? Blake Snell gets three strikeouts in his inning plus of work. He gives up a solo home run. You know, it's the same kind of thing. people are just giving up solo home runs or they're striking you out. I mean, I was wondering, you though thought this was exciting, right? Did you think it was exciting when it was still like 2-1 for most of the game in the middle parts of the game? Or did it only get exciting when, like, you know, 7 runs were scored and 6 home runs were hit after the 7th inning stretch?
To me, it got exciting around the Segura home run.
Right.
But all that wanted me to do is, like, say, okay, you know, let's get back to the regular season. You know, I want to see this type of play during the regular season. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to set my fantasy lineup. You know, let's get it going. Let's bring on the second half. And if you go to rotoexperts.com right now, there's an article on Cam Jayagrande and prospects that should be called up during the second half.
Mm.
And, okay, you know, this Mountcastle kid that the Orioles have as the heir apparent to Manny Machado, the doors are really going to be swinging open for him to be part of this infield when they open 2019. And I'm sure Dynasty League owners are all over that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so keep it locked there as we keep it moving into the second half of the baseball season. You talk about prospects who will come up. Scott, you know I have been calling for a while for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. over there in Toronto to get called up. Remember Josh Donaldson on the last year of his current deal.
Bo Bichette's probably going to come up at some point.
Bo Bichette, absolutely. We got they also have, I think, Biggio's kid in Toronto as well. So we'll keep an eye out on all of those things. Scotty, you know how you wanted to, you know, end it kind of on a light note. You were talking about your nephew because, you know, we don't want to get into the vile stuff that Josh Hader put out there, whether it was 7 years ago or 2 years ago. I have two kind of lighthearted things for you connected to close out today. And yes, Scotty, we are going to talk about the Yankees real quick because, you know, you had your Seahawks time. You mentioned out there in New Jersey, the showcase for the Northeast, stuff like that. The New York Yankees, their minor league affiliates, get this, Scotty, their AA affiliate is the Trenton Thunder. On Fridays in the summertime, they are going to, instead of being known as the Trenton Thunder, they are going to be known as the Trenton Taylor Hams, to honor a big-time Jersey kind of food, you know, that's served in diners across the state. And then their single-A affiliate, the Staten Island Yankees, are on Saturdays this summer going to be known as the Staten Island Pizza Rats. That because of the viral video of the rat dragging the pizza slice down the subway stairs a couple of summers ago. This obviously just to get a little bit of buzz and fun, minor league baseball kind of stuff. But you can go ahead and buy some of these hats or shirts as well. Which team name do you like better, Scotty? The Trenton Taylor Hams or the Staten Island Pizza Rats?
Probably the Pizza Rats. I mean, to me, you know, that's more amusing. But with fantasy football season, you know, coming up, it's you know, we're going to want to hear some of our users' best team names.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Team names are great. My current team name, my team that won the championship last year, I had Nuke Hopkins, and so I was code to the Nukes. You know I love all the nicknames, Scotty, because I am a nicknames guy live on air and for fantasy team names. So we should definitely do something where we kind of get submissions. Maybe we do another little eight name bracket or something like that as we move on. We definitely want to hear your submissions. Holler at us, you know, tomorrow and every day at 844-843-6879. Engage with us on Twitter. And as always, go on and get the Roto Experts exclusive Edge fantasy package. Scotty, you have a great rest of the day, all right, brother man? I guess we'll get back into these tight end ranks a little bit tomorrow. Hopefully you make a move on Ricky Seals-Jones. You're making that move today, right, on the rankings?
Yeah, and I'm looking at my Dynasty League in about, you know, maybe 7 years, drafting Joseph Brown, my fantasy baseball team.
There you go. Just make sure he, you know, he stays away from questionable stuff on social media because it'll come back to get him, but I'm sure he's on the straight and narrow. Don't hit send, like Herm Edwards said. Have a great day, Scotty. Talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome back to Roto Experts in the Morning, fantasy players, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez, Speed Spin Statistician, and I am joined for the second hour by my man, the number one accuracy ranker in the business, the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. Jake, how you doing on a hump day, halfway through the week? How you feeling?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Jake. We got a jam-packed hour, man. We may touch on four different sports. Obviously, we're going to talk football as we get people ready for fantasy football and fantasy football drafts. Remember to get the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Package. Don't forget, enter the promo code ALLINKID at checkout for a special discount. Jake, a little bit later on in the show, I want to tell you that I have been to the bathroom at the W Hotel in Scottsdale. It's very nice. It's very nice. And when you got to go, you got to go. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. I will say this, Jake. The King, Scotty Engel, had some talk about his auction draft recently and then went hard at Corey Parson. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. We have potential NBA news as well. It looks like there could be a trade with the San Antonio Spurs and the Toronto Raptors, potentially, that we may get into. Listen, we may, in fact, we're looking forward to having Colin Drew join the show. This idea of, the British Open or the Open Championship is going on in Scotland starting tomorrow. And we have baseball news. It's not like Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, two sport athletes. We may be four sport athletes in this hour, Jake, but I do want to start with Major League Baseball and the Manny Machado deal that seems like it is all but done, whether it's because it's just the medicals and the physical paperwork that's going down, or just the fact that Major League Baseball didn't want any kind of announcement of a deal like this to deter from their Midsummer Classic. You know, I'm reminded of like when A-Rod News interrupted the World Series about a decade ago, but it looks like this Manny Machado to the Dodgers thing is all but done, right, Jake?
It sounds that way from everything we heard yesterday, and the biggest news was, the breaking news was made after he was yanked from the game, so like you said, right. It just might be the fact that make sure he was healthy, as you said, maybe mm-hmm. they didn't want to overshadow the game itself to have this news, because everybody would have been focusing on that, so it sounds like this is it. It's a done deal.
It sounds like it. He was Rosenthal interviewed him during the game. He was talking about the Orioles kind of like in the past tense. I also thought it was interesting. I don't know if you saw like him and Matt Kemp yucking it up, taking selfies. Kemp was another person that was interviewed on the field during the game, being like, oh, I can't talk about that. I don't know what you're talking about. It seems like it's all but done. And to be quite honest, it sounds like it'll get announced potentially today. Let's talk about the game a little bit, though, Jake. To me, we talk about how it's the All-Star game. I think very specifically, Jake, it was the three true outcome All-Stars. You know what I mean? Like, this game was such a microcosm of baseball in 2018. By the end of the seventh inning, score was 2-2. Nothing but solo home runs. There were 10 home runs hit in this game, Jake. There were 20 hits overall. 50% of the hits were home runs. It looks like until extra innings, all the runs scored were home runs. And then on the other side, we have dominant strikeout outings for these pitchers. The American League staff, 12 strikeouts, the National League staff, 13 strikeouts. It really seemed like a kind of showcase for the three true outcomes. How'd you view that, Jake?
I wasn't paying that close attention to the concern with the outcomes of the at-bats. Sure. It was just an All-Star game. I was working at the same time, so it was just, I was semi-interested in having fun with it and semi-not. Never had to get that invested to it where I really care that you're not wrong. I'm not saying you are, but I saw some people talking about the strikeouts and all that type of stuff. I don't really care.
No, I just thought it was a microcosm. I thought it was so such a symptom of where we are. It doesn't matter if you strike out. You got these high octane, high 90 guys blowing people away. And really the only offense, was this idea of hitting it over the wall and mostly solo shots. So I wonder if the fan likes that kind of game. I do think that was interesting. But listen, Jake, we're going to be talking a lot, I think, maybe not we, but the baseball news that came after this really surrounded Josh Hader. Josh Hader, who, by the way, has had a truly dominant season, 89 strikeouts in 48 innings pitched, a 1.5 ERA, a whip below 0.8 at 0.79. He's the victim of the three-run homer from Gene Segura. But I don't know if you saw, because you were, you know, working at the same time, Jake. But two things. One, there's literally a clip in the dugout of Gene Segura and Nelson Cruz before this at-bat where they're like staring at a cell phone. And I was watching the game live. I was like, huh, that's weird. They got a cell phone in the dugout. Didn't think much of it because, you know, all the players were like wearing their chains and stuff. Francisco Lindor even made the point, like, you know, we don't prep, we don't do film study, stuff like that. We can wear chains. It's a different, it's an exhibition. But they're looking at this phone, and maybe they were looking at the tweets that went unearthed by Josh Hader. He says 7 years ago when he was young, upon further inspection, some of these came as late as 2016. This idea of kind of, you know, racist, homophobic tweets that are out there. I'm reminded of Yuri Gurriel in the World Series after his gestures hitting the home run off of Yu Darvish. He got 5 games. Jake, what's your reaction to this? And do you think Hader might face any discipline from the league?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I have no idea if they're going to discipline. So, no, I mean, I don't know what baseball is going to do with this situation. Oh. That's what I'm saying. This happened years ago. I don't know. I couldn't tell you one way or another. I just, you know, whatever, he apologized for it, moved on from it. I mean, if they want to suspend him, if he wants, I don't know. He said he's ready for whatever that they throw down. And so if they do, they do. I don't know. I think, honestly, we're spending a hell of a lot too much time on it. I mean, I'm not saying it's right, but people make mistakes and do stupid things all the time. And we need to be smarter as a country for every side of things, whether you're white, black, Mexican, you know, Puerto Rican, I don't care. Australian, I don't care what race you are. Everybody needs to be smarter and more intelligent about the, you know, respecting other people's cultures and backgrounds and stuff like that. But at the same time, he's not the first person to slip up and say something stupid, and he won't be the last.
Yeah, this is true. And, you know, and we talked about it a little bit last hour with Scott. I think the other thing, the other takeaway from this, wherever you fall kind of on your beliefs on the political landscape, whatever the case may be, I'm not here to, you know, kind of detail and critique society. But here's what I do think. Here's what I do think is important. You know, we saw this leading up to the draft, the NFL draft with Josh Allen, I believe it was, as well, Jake. We've seen other examples where literally at the like highest leverage point of your career, something gets dropped from social media. I'm reminded even back in the day, a couple years ago, remember Laremy Tunsil was primed to be the number one overall pick, and then literally like 15 minutes before the draft, a video from social media surfaced. I think, you know, I'm reminded of Herman Edwards, right? When he goes to these kind of symposiums for the rookies, and he's just like, don't hit send. I think, to be honest, that is one of the biggest things here, Jake. You know, these kids, these millennials who grew up on social media have to understand that their social media profiles are just like talking into a microphone these days at a press conference. And you really have to almost like scrub your social media past, because those things are gonna come back at you, Jake. I think there is a kind of like lesson learned or additional warning for other athletes and kids coming up these days. You have to treat social media like it's a, you know, like it's a press conference also, Jake, you know?
No, that's a fine point. I'm not going to disagree with you.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
I don't know what to add to it.
No, I hear you. I hear you, Jake. Let's move on, okay? Because, yes, the American League does get their extra inning win. I believe it was a showcase for the three true outcomes. Jake is ready to move on. Jake is ready to move on to the second half of the season. Jake is ready to move on to other news and notes. I said we got 4 sports to cover here today, Jake. We don't talk about it that much, so maybe just a couple of minutes real quick on this NBA buzz that I'm hearing about Kawhi Leonard potentially being on the move, okay? And then we'll touch base on some of the news and notes of the day for football before we bring in Colin Drew a little bit later on in this hour. I want to ask you about this. It looks a lot of buzz, a lot of reports that this trade is imminent with Kawhi Leonard finally being on the move, not to LA, not to any team in the Western Conference, but to Drake's squad, potentially, the Toronto Raptors, with DeMar DeRozan, another all-star, coming back. You were wondering if the Spurs would ever be able to get fair value. I mean, it's not finalized yet, but there are a number of reports about this being quote-unquote imminent. Jake, what do you think about this potential deal? Kawhi to the Toronto Raptors for DeRozan. Does this make Toronto right there with Boston and Philly? Like, maybe they have a staying power at the top of the Eastern Conference? What do you think about this potential deal, Jake?
I don't know about much about the NBA enough to know that maybe I'm missing something here, but last time I checked, DeMar DeRozan was an all-star, and so was Kawhi Leonard. And if people want to argue that Kawhi Leonard is one of the top 10 in the game, I mean, I'm not going to spend too much time arguing with you that. Maybe 15 or whatever he's up there. Maybe DeRozan's on that next tier.
Right.
Either way, again, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I think I watch enough.
All-stars.
To my point of the gap between them, like I watch enough that I think I know the gap is maybe one tier, and I don't see one tier of a swap player changing Toronto's fortune. I mean, I understand that you take the chance because you're obviously capped out at what you were with DeRozan and Lowry before, and now you have Kawhi and Lowry, and you don't have LeBron in the East, so it's fine, but I don't see how this is any... I don't see it being... If you told me, like, war and basketball, like, what the win improvement was going to be, or win shares, I guess, is the better one for basketball, if you're going to tell me that they improved their team by two or three wins, I think that's it. I don't see how this is a giant, like, oh, my God, I can't believe the Raptors did this. Congrats to them. It's like, it's cool. It's smart. I guess, like I said, you reached your plateau. Maybe this helps you get over it, but I don't think it's a definitive one, and I don't think it's all going to be like, oh, wow, look how good they are now.
Yeah, no, I hear you. The two small points I'd add to that because I understand what you're saying. Like, the gap between them is not that huge. DeMar DeRozan is, you know, he's a U.S. Olympian. He's an all-star. You know what I mean? He's at the upper crust of the league, so I get that. One place where I do believe is that Kawhi Leonard is also known as one of the better defensive players in the game. And when you talk about the Eastern Conference, yeah, LeBron is gone, but you know, you think about some of the wing players that Boston has, you think about a guy like Ben Simmons, you think about some of these guys that Toronto may see in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Maybe Kawhi Leonard is an answer there on the defensive side of the ball. That's the one thing I would think about. And the other thing is, to your point, everyone knew that Kawhi Leonard was on the trading block, you know, or was wanted out of San Antonio. So I think, you know, the Spurs didn't really have much leverage here. So the fact that they could get another all-star instead of having to sell like we talked about with Machado and AL-only leagues, it looks to me like the Spurs did not have to settle for 60 cents on the dollar and got another all-star, you know, at least. So I believe that's actually a good move out of San Antonio, even though everyone knew they didn't really have a ton of leverage in this situation. But Jake, what do you think about that Kawhi on the defensive side of the ball? I think that is where he has a little bit of a distinct upgrade over what DeRozan was doing in Toronto.
Yeah, sure. But at the same time, I still don't think it's going to be the impact where it's going to change it that much.
Yeah. All right. I mean, you know, fair enough. That's why they play the games. But anytime in a league an all-star gets traded for another all-star, it is definitely news. And so that's why we're bringing it to you right here on Roto Experts in the Morning on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And if you want, if you think this trade moves the needle a little bit for Toronto or for San Antonio, go on over to mybookie.ag, enter the promo code FNTSY Fantasy, and you can get a 50% deposit bonus on your next deposit, okay? So you can check that out. Remember, we both gave you the American League as the winner last night. I hope you listened to us, and maybe your balance over on mybookie.ag is a little bit higher than it was 24 hours ago.
No, it wasn't
ago.
Both. You didn't ask me, so I'm not taking credit for that one. You didn't say
you got the American
League?
I didn't
pick a winner. Or less. I didn't pick either. You didn't even ask.
All right. I did.
Okay.
I did. You're right.
That's what I'm saying. Look, I'm just not going to take credit where credit's not. I love to take credit when I'm right, but I didn't tell you to take the American League.
An ethical man, Jake Seeley. But what you have also said, Jake, is that, you know, you do On Target, Frenzy, this show. I do a number of shows also. Sometimes it all meshes together.
I'm sure. That's what I'm saying.
You know,
did I say it on this show?
Did I say it on the other show? You know what it is, Jake? For Fantasy Freestyle, I'm on live right as the All-Star game was starting. You know what I mean? So I said it last night then, before the game started on Fantasy Freestyle, 7 to 8 p.m. on Tuesdays, live from Studio 34. I also shared, Jake, my/our, because it seems like you had all the same ideas, our All-Star Game Festivities platform on Fantasy Freestyle yesterday. Got a lot of buzz in the chat room.
Let's make it happen, along with the bats.
I think we should do this. Jake, we should make a platform. We should, like, make a ticket. Remember, like, last year when people were voting for you for, like, social media, whatever it was, maybe FSWA, whatever it was, for that award, right? And they were,
FSTA,
like, campaign.
Yeah.
Okay. FSTA, FSWA, they're all organizations out there that support what we do.
There's a difference, though. So
fair enough. You're up for that award. And, like, there were campaign slogans and signs and stuff in the studio and stuff like that. We need to maybe, make the Sealy Martinez ticket or the Martinez Sealy ticket, whatever the case may be.
Maybe the All-Star game great again.
Yeah, and that could be part of our platform. I think that could be part of our platform.
Just make it better.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they've made some changes with the home run derby that we like. Maybe they need to keep on going and push it forward with the bats and all that stuff as well. I digress, though. Jake, let's get into our third sport, because I think we're going to talk four sports on this hour. Our third sport is obviously the NFL. People are getting ready. People are getting ready for their drafts. And boy, oh boy, Jake, we have an actual piece of news. You know, this is not one of these, it's just July news kind of things. We have an actual incident. Jake, I have used the bathroom at the W Hotel in Scottsdale, and they let me. It was no kind of problem. You know, it's a beautiful place. It's very nice. I did a little pool party action up there. Shout out to my man Joel Teitelman out there. Not the case for Ricky Seals-Jones. Arizona Cardinals tight end was trying to, gotta go. But apparently then he tried to go in a restaurant in the hotel or whatever, wind up getting in a physical altercation with like the bouncer or the security guard. This is interesting. So coming off, I hear a promo, Jake, as we use as a commercial, where you and our guy, the fantasy executive, were already giving the king, Scott Angle, a little bit of grief because you guys thought he overpaid for Ricky Seals-Jones in an auction.
Not thought, he did.
All right, well, there you go. And this news may compound that. What's your read on this situation? I think the problem here, Jake, and we've discussed this, the NFL is so inconsistent that I have no way to read the tea leaves on this one, but I'm going to let you try. What do you think happens as a result of this, what we hear from Ricky Seals-Jones?
No, it's the same thing. Like you said, there's no way to know. I mean, if you read the account, too, it's like he shoved them in the shoulder one hand. It wasn't even like – it was kind of one of those probably, get off me type of things or just right. Get out of my way. This is the thing is it's getting so annoying nowadays with all this stuff with, all these situations of go back to Foster and stuff like that. This one, obviously something happened. This isn't making up a story. But at the same time, really, we have to charge him with assault? Assault? Like, definitely people should be – if it's assault, please call the cops. Please put the people in jail. Please have them arrested. No problem with that. But giving you a little shove on the shoulder to get out of my way because I'm trying to go to the bathroom. Like, I've shoved people on the shoulders in New York when they won't respect the area on the sidewalk, thinking they own the entire sidewalk that's got 17 people trying to walk side by side on it, and they give you the shoulders shove, and I give them the shove back. You're going to call assault on me? Like, that, and that's my point. It's like, really, this is what we're doing now?
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of sensitive PC kind of culture that we're in on some level. I hear what you're saying and how serious of an incident this may or may not have been. I wasn't there. I don't know. But I think the hard part, Jake, is when you overlay this with what we have described before as the ridiculous inconsistency of how the NFL might treat this, and I think that's where it becomes a little bit crazy. I mean, you personally, like Scott, had Ricky Seals-Jones as something like number 10 in his rankings, right? You had him far lower, although we have talked about him as someone who could kind of break out in your last rankings. You have Ricky Seals-Jones. I'm looking at PPR scoring, Jake. You have him as tight end 19, but that is, say, whatever, three spots ahead, say, of consensus or ADP. I know you didn't adjust LeSean McCoy after the reports came out from him. Are you going to adjust Ricky Seals-Jones in your ranks? No. Not until the NFL like actually does come out and say he's going to be suspended for, say, two games or something like that?
Yep.
Okay. When that happens, we will check in with Jake and see the impact at that point. But we can't make that decision until we actually know what the details are. And the challenge comes because, like we said, the NFL is incredibly inconsistent with how they kind of treat these things. You want to move on, Jake? You want to move on to our Dallas Cowboys? It looks like they are – oh, no, we got some other news and notes. I want to ask you about this Brandon Cooks contract extension, Jake. He gets a 5-year, $80 million deal, but you have taught me well, Jake. You have taught me to look at the guaranteed money, and out of this $80 million deal, it looks like only $20 million of it is guaranteed. I got to ask you a question, like – why are the Rams so comfortable spending so much of their money on the wide receiver position. You know, they have Robert Woods to a big contract. Let's not forget about the Tavon Austin deal that happened a few years ago.
Robert Woods isn't a big contract till next year. He's got zero dead money after this year.
Okay, but still, like, they are investing at the wide receiver position, Jake. What do you think is behind this? Do you think this is smart allocation of resources by the Los Angeles Rams? We have talked about how they have, you know, they have a Hurd, they have Cooks, they have Woods, they have Kupp, you know, all their pass catchers. And we talked about how close these guys may or may not be. They are supporting Jared Goff, you know, with the XYZ affair, right? A Kupp out of the slot, a Woods who could do that toe tap stuff, a guy like Cooks who is that downfield threat to replace a Sammy Watkins. Do you believe, I guess, do you agree with this kind of a model of team construction, and you know, with all this money on the guys on the outside?
I mean, obviously, we could sit here and say we agree or we don't, and I think it's too much to invest too, and especially at the wide receiver position. I mean, you look at a team like the Patriots who have done the complete opposite, that pretty much have invested that contract across all their wide receivers, like total. Right. And that includes Edelman and the rest. So, you know, you can look at it both ways. It's just a culture, obviously. It's a culture difference between the two, is the fact that on the one hand, you know, the Patriots are going to do it their way. They also have Tom Brady at quarterback. And then you have the Rams with an offensive-minded head coach, Sean McVay, who's going to go the other direction. Do I think it's smart? No. Do I think Brandon Cooks deserves the kind of money that he's getting now? He's the fourth highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. No, because I don't think he's a complete wide receiver. He's still very young, so that's a good thing. But this is where they want to invest. And like I said, the fact is, if you look at it, Robert Woods after this season has zero debt. They can move on from Robert Woods after this season. They can go with Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp. So it's not like they're tied down to three wide receivers in big money, because Cooper Kupp's going to be coming up in another, so it's one, two, three, so another 2 years. So the fact that he's not going to have a contract next year, that's going to be huge. Woods will be gone. So it's not investing that much when you really think about it. It just is for this season.
Fair enough. But here's part of what I'm thinking about also with the Rams, Jake. I mean, Todd Gurley's going to be done with his rookie deal real soon. They're going to have to address that. Jared Goff, similarly, they're going to have to address. We all talk about Le'Veon Bell and holdouts and all that and franchise tag, but, you know, they got Aaron Donald coming up as well. They decided to take on the Ndamukong
Suh. Yeah, but that's not the wide receiver position. You got to pay at least one wide receiver if you want top end talent there.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, you know, might they be painting themselves in a corner as it relates to a Gurley or a Goff contract, which are on the horizon for sure?
No. No, absolutely not. It's like I said, they don't have Woods after this season. They can let him go for nothing. Where are their other big contracts? Those are going to be coming up, and they'll pay them. Yeah, they'll pay Gurley and Donald next year. Goff is at least another year or two away.
This is Goff's, what, third year? Yeah, because Winston and Mariota are in year four, yeah. So Goff and Winston
and they'll
year
get the fifth-year option on top.
So he's got two more years on Goff, right?
Yeah. And maybe they argue after the fourth year because of the fifth-year option and similar to Odell Beckham and all that type of stuff. But the fact is, they'll make it work. You can have five people that are getting paid a decent amount of money in the NFL.
Okay. All right. You know, I'm just saying it is a domino effect. When you pull on one string, you have a little bit less slack on some of the others. But it does speak to also the Rams. It looks to me, Jake, like the Rams are kind of all in for this year. They know they have some of this stuff on the horizon. They take on Ndamukong Suh. They go and get the contracts of like Peters and Tlaib and people like that as well. It looks like they're taking their shot, you know, before, like, I look at the Seattle Seahawks, right? They had their shot when Russell Wilson was still not making as much money, right? When his contract comes up, it causes constraints elsewhere. It seems like this window before they have to, you know, have some of the crunch. I understand what you're saying, but some of the crunch for them financially is on the horizon, and it looks like they're going for it right now, even taking on Ndamukong Suh as a contract. Jake, speaking of the Seattle Seahawks, and speaking of kind of like money constraints and what that does for your flexibility, Earl Thomas is still out there, and yesterday, I believe it was, he was like, listen, extend me or trade me. Now, this can go one of three ways, Jake, and I want you to almost to like kind of handicap these for me. One way is Seattle can turn around and trade him. Right. One thing is, you know, Seattle can kind of turn around and agree to him and like extend his contract. Or the other thing that can happen is nothing. And eventually Earl Thomas decides to not sit out, not hold out, and comes back and plays out the rest of his contract almost with his hat in his hands. Which of those three are the most likely outcome to you? How do you think this one plays out for Earl Thomas and the Seattle Seahawks?
At this point, I have no clue. I mean, we've been doing this how long now? An entire offseason? Yeah. I don't know how this is going to happen. It's like, ideally, he wants out of there for him. But at the same time, it's sports, man. It's all sports. Depending on the situation, what are you going to do? Like, how much leverage do you really have? Le'Veon Bell, what did I say from day one on Le'Veon Bell? He's going to hold out, not going to get a contract. He's going to play week one. I said that the entire time because that's the unfortunate situation when it comes to the franchise tag and how the NFL is set up. There is no recourse. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing Aaron Donald can do. The only thing they can do is sit out six games, which unfortunately cost them millions of dollars. So there's no point in doing it. Like the NFL Players Association screwed the pooch when they had this situation and they agreed to it. And obviously this is going to be a huge sticking point next agreement, and it should be. So when it comes to situations like this, I have no idea anymore. I think it's just going to be Earl Thomas playing on the Seahawks next year. At the same time, it wouldn't surprise me if he's gone one way or another, but this is what the NFL set up.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Yes, it is true. It is true. And even though it is June or July, we still got to fill this time with all the same projections and speculations that some of the beat writers do and things of that nature. When we talk about Earl Thomas, we even remember things like last year during the season at the end of that Cowboys game. It's been widely reported how he went to Jason Garrett and sort of was like, hey, Come try and get me, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, these are kind of like the only tactics that Earl Thomas has. You know, it's like kind of the only bullets left in his chamber. So we'll see how he plays it, and we'll see how the Seattle Seahawks respond. As you know, Jake, our guy Scotty Engel, as a big-time Seahawks fan, is certainly hoping that he winds up staying with the as the only member of the Legion of Boom. As we mentioned, Jake, Earl Thomas was talking about Dallas as a potential option, and Dallas is the team that we are going to break down in our team-by-team previews, you know, kind of as we stay focused on the NFC East. We've been talking about Dallas for a while, you know, the loss of Dez Bryant, the loss of Jason Witten. We'll talk about the implications of this, who can potentially take that opportunity, and if they're a smart bet over on mybookie.ag with the season win total. It's Jake Seeley and the Spittin' Statistician right here on Roto Experts in the Morning, where we put the fun in functional sports radio. Big Papa bringing you into the weekend. Come on right back. We're having fun on a Wednesday. Yeah. Scott Engel likes it raw, apparently, here on Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Jake Seeley, the all-in kid and number one ranker, accuracy expert in the business. I'm merely the spitting statistician, the stable genius and vocal minority of the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We put the fun in functional sports radio here. Roto Experts in the Morning. Jake, a lot of stuff right there. I know I heard you guys. I heard the commercial. You and my man, the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, giving Scott Engel a little bit of heat because he went ahead and got Ricky Seals-Jones. I mean, Scott's not having a good one. You know, he drafted LeSean McCoy in the Scott Fishbowl League like hours before the news broke on McCoy last week. He apparently, you know, bought Ricky Seals-Jones. Many people would say he maybe overpaid for them in the beginning anyway, and then this news comes down. Scott, though, responding to Corey Parsons, what do you think about the King getting a little hot and bothered there about this? What do you think there, Jake?
Yeah, it's fine. If you want to fire back, it doesn't change the fact that you shouldn't have spent $15 on Ricky Seals-Jones.
Fair enough. Let me ask you something, because you do the Flex League, right, Jake?
Yeah.
He was talking about how he didn't get any cash, any cheddar, any cold hard cash because of the Flex League, but he got his stacks from GST. He got his $3,000. Is Flex not a money league?
No, it's a small money league.
I got you. Okay, so
he actually did get money, but it wasn't that much. But that's not the point of the Flex Leagues. The point of the Flex Leagues is to get the best of the best in the industry together, similar to Tout Wars in baseball.
Right.
So that's why it has the prestige it does, and it's also just about getting together and hanging out with each other once a year because a lot of us don't get to see each other, and it's a way to connect for the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know that is the beauty of all fantasy sports, right? It's about that camaraderie. So many people do this with maybe friends from high school or whatever, and they've moved across the country, across the world. You know, the funny part, Jake, is in some of my home leagues, the hardest part is finding out a draft time because we have to also, you know, accommodate people that live in, you know, London or in, you know, Seoul, South Korea. How fantasy sports really bring people together. You're talking about that being the kind of gist of any league. I completely agree.
Well, you know what? Honestly, if he wants, I could find a replacement for Scott in the Flex Leagues. If he doesn't think it's prestigious enough.
Listen, Jake, you know, I've been clamoring to get into more expert leagues here, too.
Oh, let me ask you this, Dane. If you're playing in a home league and your pot is $20,000.
Sure.
Does that make your competition immediately better than the best of the best in the experts just because it's more money?
No, it could.
I mean, there's a
That's what I'm saying. Not necessarily. Maybe. Maybe
it doesn't necessarily make it more competitive either.
Right.
It makes it more exactly and more stakes. That's a crutch argument that because there's more money, it's best. That's what Modica used to do. What the NFFC is definitively better than everything else because it's more money.
No, I agree with you, Jake. And to be quite honest, I'd love to find the league that is higher stakes and less competitive. To be quite honest,
I would too.
If you're gonna
tell me there's a $10,000 buy-in with a bunch of moose in
fish.
It, I'll join it tomorrow.
Exactly, Jake. We're trying to win our leagues and win that cash. You know what I'm saying? But Jake, all I'm saying is I'm just throwing it out there again. If there's any spots in the Flex League,
you're at the waiting list. I told you you're on the waiting list. There's only so much I could do. Like, you're on the waiting list. I'm trying to think, like, people that you might even know that I've even told it's on the waiting list.
And this is all good.
This is with Florio getting booted out because he can't be here. So
I know. You know, Florio is leaving on a jet plane.
The Tazi brothers are on the waiting list.
Okay.
There's a couple.
Do we have in this league? Can you tell me a little bit of who are the amazing people that are putting small amounts of money into this league and competing with the best of the best? I know you are in it. I know Scott is in it. Who's the rest of this league there, Jake?
Well, the one at D.C., is Murchison, okay. Corey Parson, David Ganos, for people that know David Ganos. Great, one of the best in the business. Great guy.
Sure.
Jeff Haisley, Jody Smith, Joe Dolan, Carl Shafchik, Michael Rathburn, Rich Rebar, Scott Fish, and Steve Gallo. Steve Gallo won last year. And then New York as Adam Azer, Adam Ronis, Bob Long, Brandy Marianne Lee, Dennis Esser, Elliot Christ, Eric
the
Young.
Coach.
Yes, Eric Young.
Sanity. Nice.
Yep. Frank Stanfill, because he's still here. Graham Barfield, Jamie Eisenberg, Jeff Ratcliffe, Jen Ryan, Jim McCormick, Joe Pizzapia, Maria Marino, Matt Modica, Mike Taglier, who actually maybe, Pat Thorman, Rick Wolf, Scott Barrett, Scott Angle, Tim Haney. And so, you know, if there's a spot, you're at there's like three people at the top. There's actually like a six-person waiting list. But
I'm on the middle of the list. I'm towards the middle of that list.
You're more towards the top.
All right, I'll take two or three out of six.
You could take Scott's place, apparently.
Hey, listen, Scott doesn't. Apparently, he doesn't. You know, hey, all I know is that it didn't sit well with him. Let's put it that way. It didn't sit well with him that you guys were already giving him smack for the $15, I believe it was, for RSJ, and compounding the issue was whatever took place at the W Hotel in Scottsdale yesterday.
That's what happens when you're wrong. You come after other people.
I hear you, Jake. I hear you. You know,
you try to defer it.
We've learned this practice from our commander in tweets, in fact. You know, the idea of deflecting and, you know, kind of, hey, look at this shiny thing over there anytime something may be closing in. But that's not what we're here for. I digress. Jake, it sounds like we're not necessarily going to have some time to speak with Colin Drew today. He usually does join us here on Wednesdays to talk a little bit of PGA golf. We do have a huge major championship going on this week in Scotland in Carnoustie, the Open Championship. So what I will do, guys, is I'm telling you, go on over to rotoexperts.com. Go to dailyroto.com, okay? We can't say this enough. At Daily Roto, they make millionaires. We talked with Colin Drew when they were doing the Masters, I think it was, Jake, right? The U.S. Open, the last major. The guy who did win the Millionaire Maker was a Daily Roto subscriber. So listen, unless you're allergic to money, you should definitely go on over over to Daily Roto, to Roto Experts, and get all the insights there. I was going to put together a lineup, Jake, but I was going to put together a lineup based on what Colin Drew told me, you know, so to try and beat all the fish that play in just the majors. But I'm myself going to have to go on over to rotoexperts.com, to dailyroto.com, and get all the insight that we need. I do think it's interesting, Jake, and then we'll move on to the Dallas Cowboys. But, like, I always think it's cool watching the British Open, or the Open as they call it now, because, like, those bunkers are so crazy. The grass is so crazy. It's like a real hazardous course. It seems like there's a lot of that native area in these Open championships. Right, Jake?
Well, that's, I wanted to ask about the question is the fact that it's supposed to be really dry, too. So the thing is, the ball could travel an extra 50 to 100 yards, and that's not an exaggeration. I read that. The extra 50 to 100 yards on the ground. Like that the fairways are going to be faster than the greens. So I wanted to know, does that mean, like, driving accuracy is king? Because you know, if you might not want it to go an extra 70 yards because it might roll an extra 70 yards straight into a bunker, as you said.
Yeah, I hear that. I thought about it in the same way, Jake. I think this maybe favors some of the control players, right? Because you ain't got to bang it. But if you can control that, even if you don't have huge length, it may not matter given the conditions and given the dryness that you say. But here, Jake and I, we are not necessarily the golf experts, but you should definitely go on over to DailyRoto.com. What's that? What did I say?
It's not about the size of the drive. It's about... how you use it.
Sure, Jake. You know, I mean, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to talk about, you just mentioned that when you know you're wrong or when you're not confident, you go attack other people. I don't want to seem like we're not confident about that, Jake, you know?
Oh, I wasn't saying that. I don't hit the ball very far. I can be honest about that.
Fair enough. Listen,
my golf game is lacking because I don't have the power.
I hear you. I just try and keep it straight also. Listen, if I can control my accuracy, I don't care. I'll humble myself and, you know, pull out the 6-iron all the time. But in any event, Jake, we do have just a couple of minutes before Carton and Friends takes over. Our guy Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, part of that show. We'll see what he has to say after he hears that retort from the king, Scott Engel. But with the time we have left, let's talk a little bit about these Dallas Cowboys. You know, what kind of breaking news do we have? Okay, it's final. It's final, Jake. We talked about it. We talked about it early this hour. Kawhi Leonard has, in fact, it looks like the deal is done. It looks like Kawhi Leonard has, in fact, been traded to the Toronto Raptors for DeMar DeRozan. It looks like these things are becoming official. But, Jake, we talked about this, right? You know, kind of all-star for all-star. I believe this is maybe, you know, kind of one of the best-case scenarios for the Spurs, Jake. You know, like, they didn't have much leverage in this situation. So to get back another all-star, another Olympian, sort of a pretty good haul for San Antonio, given the leverage that they did or did not have, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have much to add to it at this point. Besides the fact is that's where I'll agree with you. I do agree with it for everything we knew about the Spurs and thinking their hand was forced and they'd have to take, you know, 80 cents on the dollar or whatever. I'm actually surprised they got what they did.
Yeah, so maybe that's Popovich working some magic, was able to, you know, get back maybe not 100 cents on the dollar, but I mean, you know, hey. They got a multi-time All-Star. They got a United States Olympian out of the deal. What's up?
No, go ahead. No, finish your point. I was kind of like, continue, finish your point. And then I was like, hey, Dane.
Okay,
that was like a hey, Dane, finish your point, and then you can realize that I was that, like, I didn't want you to continue into the next one.
I got you. I got you. That was pretty much the end. Like we said, you know, given the leverage that they did or did not have, I do think they wind up going pretty well on this. What's up, Jake?
So I wanted to say, because there's not a ton of time, did you want to talk about the Cowboys or save it tomorrow and then talk about something that I just found about what the MLB commissioner said about Mike Trout?
Let's talk about what you just found, brother man. That sounds good. And then what we could do is that then fits the rest of our NFC East previews into the rest of the week, right? So we could talk Dallas tomorrow. We could finish off the week with the New York Football Giants on Friday, and then it fits into that week, and we can move to the last division, which is the AFC East. We could talk about that next week. So go ahead, Jake. What's the commissioner saying about Mike Trout?
So Mike Trout's basically – he's saying it's actually Mike Trout's fault that he's not more popular.
To our face of baseball brackets.
Yeah, so this is his quote. It says, Mike has made decisions on what he wants to do, doesn't want to do, how he wants to spend his free time or not spend his free time. I think we could help make him make his brand very big, but he has to make a decision to engage. It takes time and effort.
Interesting. That is interesting to me. And here's my kind of knee-jerk question to you, Jake, and I don't know if this is where you want to go with this. To what extent do professional athletes have an obligation to represent their brand in the public in that sort of way? You know, like I like Mike Trout, to me, he can do whatever he wants. If he wants to be out in front, like we talk about with Bryce Harper and others, like that's fine. But if he wants to be a kind of like, you know, a homebody or a quiet kind of guy who goes about doing his business, I also think that's fine. The one analogy I'll make, and I don't know if it's a perfect one, Jake, you know, I talk about things like, and we talk about hip hop sometimes, right? I talk about like Mos Def or rappers that are quote unquote socially conscious, right? And others that are just talking that, you know, self-aggrandizing gang life stuff, whatever it is. And it's been raised, like, what obligation do these rappers or performers have to be conscious, to have that as part of what they do? So I'd ask the same thing about the athletes. What obligation do they have to build their brand as it seems like Manfred wants Trout to do?
I don't think any player has any obligation.
Right.
If, you know, if Manfred, well, there's two things here. Manfred's point is correct. If a player wants to, you know, if he wants to be quiet and to himself and, you know, doesn't want to get engaged, doesn't want to be involved, doesn't want to make himself big and well known, that's fine. Some players are like that. Yeah. I'll give you a perfect example is a friend that I know is a lifelong, since they were kids, friend of Ryan Zimmerman of the Nationals.
Okay.
If you've noticed, Ryan Zimmerman, you've never heard anything. You rarely hear him interviewed. Anybody that doesn't even know the Nationals, actually some people who even know the Nationals might even not know who he is or what he does or what's his personality. Nobody knows his personality because that's what he is. He doesn't like talking to people. He wants to do his thing and be left alone. There's other people like David Wright, and obviously it helped it being in the New York media, but at the same time, you know, he's out there willing to talk to anybody, always smiling and happy when he's on the microphone.
Right.
You could think of like Chris Bryant for the same thing.
Curtis Anderson.
Yeah, you don't have to be. If you could be your personality, you are who you have to be. Like, it's not like basketball where you have to do your post-game interviews. It's not that type of stuff. So that point, he's correct. The fact of what baseball could do and all that type of stuff, he's out of his damn mind. Like, what has baseball done for anybody? Honestly, I'm not talking about baseball the sport. I'm talking about baseball MLB. What have they done for anybody? They've done nothing. We know Judge because he plays in New York and he hits mammoth home runs. MLB specifically hasn't done anything for him. Like, nothing. Like, the people become face of baseball just because they're great and there's something that catches us. Like, that's what my argument about Jose Altuve was. Jose Altuve is helped by the fact that he's short, too. But 2 years ago, even being 5'6", still nobody knew. Like, nobody knew what he looks like. The fact is, baseball's got a face and identity problem because MLB does nothing to help their players. Manfred is 100% out of his mind on this one. They have done nothing to support. Like, ask football fans who don't really watch baseball, and I did it. I texted. That's what we were doing, that whole bracket thing.
Yeah.
I texted my buddy who barely watches baseball ever, even when the World Series is on, and I asked him to name the top five players in baseball. He could name two people, and it was Judge, and I forget who the other. It wasn't Trout. I forget who the other one was at this point.
Interesting. And here's the thing, Jake. I'll take it a step further. Not only are they doing things to help people get out there, I would go further to say, in fact, they are stifling people and their creativity and their expression. I'm reminded of Bryce Harper, who wanted to put like the 100 emoji on his bat.
Oh, that was the other one he said.
Oh, Bryce Harper? You know, we talked about like how we liked the bats, you know, that was coming out. We talk about other forms of expression and how, quite frankly, Major League Baseball, I think, is stifling this instead of embracing and championing and like helping provide pathways for this, for its players. If anything, I believe it's kind of still of an old era where it's trying to norm and like kind of cookie cut everything, right? And almost stifling the expression of players. We talk about this all the time, whether it be the bat flip, whether it be what we talked about, having those bats out there, whether it's about like we don't see Major League Baseball players on the David Letterman or Jimmy Kimmel and stuff like that. So, yeah, I hear you. And I would even say that the first step would be to like just allow freedom of expression. Right. So that people can build their own brands in the way that they want with the platform that is Major League Baseball. You know what I'm saying, Jake?
100%. Like, you're right. If they are doing anything, they're doing the exact opposite.
Yep. Yeah. So maybe maybe they'll see kind of the positive response of things like the bats that we talked about in the home run derby and like others and what some of football players or people in other sports are doing and take their cue because they are losing, share in this society to other sports. But I digress. That'll do it for us today. Carton and friends up next. Jake, we'll talk Cowboys tomorrow. Have a great rest of the day. We'll see what Scott and Corey have to say back and forth throughout the day. Have a good one.